Okay, today's daf is Beitza daf Chaf Vav. We left off on the bottom of daf Chaf Heyam Beis at the Mishnah.
In honor of sponsoring the daf.
In honor of Alicia too. Okay. Today's daf is sponsored by Hananya Aryeh and family. In honor of Alicia Graf for taking over the daf Yom Yishir over the last week and a half. And in honor of me for coming back. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we are holding on Daf Chaf Heyam Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. So we are going to talk about if you have a Bechor Shenafal Bar. That's going to be the entire Daf today. If you have a Bechor animal that falls into a bar, how we deal with that on Yom Tov, both in terms of the issue of Muktza and in terms of the general issue of being Roe Mumin on Yom Tov, of paskening about the Mum of a Bechor on Yom Tov. So the Gemara is going to describe, we have a Machlok in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Anamar Aleph, the Gemara is going to spend some time discussing what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is, what they're really arguing about. The Gemara is going to tell us that within Shitas Rabbi Shimon there are three Chiluke Dinim about Mumin on Yantif, three different possibilities of how it could happen, and then of how the Halacha can play out. And then in Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss when an animal is born with a Mum, whether we're allowed to be Mevakir L'Chadchila, such a Mum that an animal is born with. And then the primary Sugya on based in the second half of the Amud is going to discuss whether there's Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos or no Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos. Can something become Muktza halfway through, or do we only have such a concept of Migo Diskatzai L'Ben HaShmashos Diskatzai L'Kule Yoma, but if it was not Muktza Ben HaShmashos, it cannot first become Muktza halfway through Shabbos. So let us begin. We are again at the Mishnah Daf Chafeh and Beis. A little bit of introduction is necessary before we see the Mishnah. A Bechor Behema Tahora is one of the Chaf Dal in Matnos Kuna. It's one of the 24 gifts that we give to a Kohen. If Yisrael has a Bechor of a kosher animal born into his possessions, into his flock, and at any point, he has to give it to a Kohen. It has Kedusha of Kachim Kailim. As soon as it's born, the Kedusha is Chal right away. Nevertheless, even though the Kedusha is Chal right away, there's still a mitzvah, Lahakdisho Bepiv. We have such a concept, for instance, by Shabbos. There's the Kedusha of Shabbos is Chal right away when Shabbos comes, yet we have a mitzvah to say Kiddush, to be Makdish Shabbos. So you have the same concept when it comes to a Bechor, that we have a mitzvah, Lahakdisho, even though the Kedusha comes Me'elav. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, they would shech that Bechor in the Azara, they'd be Zorik the Dam, they'd be Makrav the Emurim on the Mizbeach, and the meat was given to the Kohanim, like all Kachim Kalim, the meat was given to the Kohanim to eat in Yerushalayim. A Bechor that's Nolad Bizman HaZeh still has Kedusha. It has Kedusha of Kachim Kalim and really has to be given to a Kohen, but the Kohen can't be makrivit on the Mizbeach. So long as it's a Tam and it's Roy to be brought on the Mizbeach, it's Asr to Shechted, because it's like Shechting Kachim Bechutz. A person would be Chayiv Kares if they Shechted a Bechor Bizman HaZeh that was a Tam that did not have a Mum. So what do we have to do? You give it to the Kohen. The Kohen's got to wait until it develops a Mum Kavua. It has to Dafka be a permanent Mum, and a Bechor Bal Mum, whether it was Nolad with its Mum, or whether the Mum came afterwards, it belongs to the Kohen, and if the Kohen wants, he could shecht it, and he could eat it, he can do whatever he wants with it, or he could sell it, or give it to whoever he wants to give it, because then it becomes Chulin. Once it develops the Mum, so it has to first develop a Mum. So if a Bechor develops a Mum, even if it's a very clear and obvious Mum, let's say it's missing a limb or something like that, still one is not allowed to shecht it unless a chacham mumcha, unless someone came and paskin that this is a mum kavua, and therefore it is mutter to shecht it. When there is no chacham mumcha, shlosha adiotos will suffice as well. So if a person shechts it and then shows it to a chacham, shows the mum to the chacham, that's a machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, what the halacha is. Rabbi Yehuda's matir ba'achila, Rabbi Meir says that no, since you shecht it shalo al pi mumcha, so it's asr ba'achila, and it's like a Bechor Shemes. It's like a Bechor that just dropped dead. So our Mishnah and our Sugya is going to deal with the Shaila, if you're allowed to show a Mum to a Chacham on Yom Tov in order to be Matir Shechting it that day, in order to be Matir Shechting it on Yom Tov. And there are two issues that relate to this question of whether you're allowed to show the Mum to a Mumcha to figure out whether you're allowed to Shecht on Yom Tov. Issue number one is whether do you have an isra of muktza? Any time that a mum was not kol zman that it did not have a mum, it was aser. So the kohen certainly didn't have das that he was going to be able to use the animal. It was mechusra achana. So that might, and obviously from the muktza standpoint, there's going to be a distinction whether the mum came on Yom Tov or whether the mum came on Erev Yom Tov. You just didn't have a chance to show it to the chacham yet on Erev Yom Tov. Then the second issue is whether there's some sort of iser d'rabanan, some sort of iser shvuz about being matir b'char, about the chacham even seeing the mum. Is it like being done as hadin or some other iser d'rabanan by being matir b'char on Yom Tov? Meaning, even if you know it's a mum kavua, maybe the chacham doesn't have the right to declare it as such on Yom Tov. So now, given that background, let's see the Mishnah. B'char shenafal abar. If a b'char falls into a bar, so it's Rashi points out b'char b'zman hazeh ein nishchat b'lo mum nei shekachim hu, that a b'char b'zman hazeh cannot be shechted unless it develops a mum. It has a din of kachim kalim. You don't need to be makdish it. It's kadosh u'me'elav, and therefore, if a person shechts it, it's like he's chayiv kares. So b'char falls into a bar, you need to find a mum if you're going to be shecht it. But now fell into a bar, there's a decent chance that it has a mum. But in addition to the fact that there's a decent chance that it has a mum, you can't just leave it at the bottom of the bar, because if you just leave it at the bottom of the bar, it might just die from the heat at the bottom of the bar. So the b'char falls into the bar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yerid Mumcha V'Yira. Rabbi Yehuda says a mumcha should go down, a baki should go down and look at it. Im yesh bo mum yalavi yishchot. And if it has a mum, so then you can take it out and shech the animal. V'im lav lo yishchot. But if it does not have a mum, one cannot shech it. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the problem of mukza, and we're talking about a mum that happened on and uber mum anofel bo biyom tov lo shari. If the mum first came on Yantif, then certainly this animal would not be mutter, because prior to Yantif, you weren't thinking about using this animal. It didn't have a mum, it was kachim prior to Yantif. So certainly if it did not have the mum prior to Yantif, it would be problematic. What the Mishnah is talking about, says Rashi, v'achi kamar, b'chor bal mum shelo hereu l'chachami ba'od yom lahatiro v'nafa l'bar b'yomtov. You have a b'chor that was a bal mum even before Yantif. The only thing is, you didn't have a chance yet to show it to a chacham to be matirit, and then it falls into the bar on Yom Tov. So yerin mum chavi yerin mum shayibo etmal. So the chacham should go down and look at the mum that was already there from the day before. Im mum kavuahu yalavi yishchot mishum demuktzal lekad demetmal daiti lave. And if it's a mum kavuah, you can take it out and you can shecht it, because it's not muktza. Even Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktza. This isn't muktza, because you already knew that there was a mum here from the previous day. You just didn't have a chance to show it to the chacham yet. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says no. Kol she'ein mumo nikur miba'od yom, ein zeh minamuchan. That if the mum was not nikur to be a mum kavua miba'od yom, then it is not considered minamuchan. So wait a second, Rabbi Shimon is being machmir on muktza over here. So Rashi explains, no, Rabbi Shimon is the sheetah that has a much more limited view of muktza. Rabbi Shimon holds that almost nothing is muktza. So what does he mean, ein zeh minamuchan? So Rashi explains, Lav mishum muktza asalei. The lesle muktza. Clearly, Rabbi Shimon is not asking because of muktza. Elefisha matiro biyomtov nirakim esakno. Davale kedan din de gazer be mishum shvus. There's a separate isser midrabanan to be matir mumin, to be matir bechor on yomtov. Vachi kamar eina taraso heter veino muchan lehechsher. Meaning eino mina muchan means that we don't have the right to make it kosher by paskining on it. On Yom Tov. So you can't send the Chacham down into the bar, because the Chacham is not going to be able to do anything anyway, since it's going to be Aser either way. Now, it's interesting, Rashi on the Mishnah, when he talks about Bechor Shenafal Labar, Rashi specifically says that we're talking about Bechor Bizman Azeh, that if you were to shecht it without a mum, you'd be Chayiv Karis for Kachim Bechutz. So Pashtus says you don't have to say that it's a Bechor Bizman Azeh. Bechor Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim is also Aser to shecht outside of the Beis HaMikdash, unless you've ascertained that it has a mum. So maybe Rashi's just teaching us, some of the Achronim say, maybe Rashi's just teaching us that you even have to be worried about a bechor bizman hazeh, that we're still knowing this din bizman hazeh. Most dinim of kachim are knowing bizman hazeh, but since the kedusha of bechor is chal me'elav, it's the kind of halacha of kachim that we still have to worry about bizman hazeh. You have farmers in the Midwest or whatever who are Jewish farmers, and some who are observant Orthodox Jews who want to observe the halacha, so they know that before a bechor is born into their flock, they do a mechira like we do mechiras chametz. They sell the mother before it gives birth, so that it will be born to a guy. Because if it's born to a Jew, then it has the kedusha. You have to wait till it has a mum kavua. The only thing is, we don't have any chachamim to be matir the mum kavua anymore. Shulchan Aruch paskins that we always use sholosh hadyotos bizman hazeh. We don't use the chacham anymore. We assume we don't have that kind of chacham. We'll discuss that a little bit more later. But halacha applies bizman hazeh. It's unique in the area of kachim that it can apply bizman hazeh. So maybe that's what Rashi's telling me. That's why Rashi emphasized bizman hazeh, not dafka bizman hazeh, but even bizman hazeh it could apply. However, some of the achronim, the rishonim already disagree. The Tosfos Chachmei Anglia and the Tzlach over here writes that no, maybe Rashi dafka says bizman hazeh, because bizman shebismuk shayekayim, Rabbi Yehuda would not say yerid mum chaviyera v'im lav lo yishchot, and if it doesn't have a mum, that you can't shecht it, because bizman shebismuk shayekayim, even if it was a tam, even if the chacham goes down and he doesn't find a mum, so what does that make it? It makes it a tam. What do you do with a bechor that's a tam? You shecht it. You makrev on the mizbech. You shecht it as a karban. You don't stam shecht it as a basar for the kohen, but you shecht it as a karban. So man of shech, he'd be allowed to take it out of the bar. Bizmach v'esimik shayekayim. The only way it's going to make a difference whether it has a mum or not, that it's going to determine whether you can take it out of the bar or not, is only bizman hazeh. That's how the tzlach writes. Then the tzlach says another possibility. Tzlach writes a second possibility. Bizmach v'esimik shayekayim. Maybe even Rabbi Shimon would be moda that you're allowed to be roe mum and on yantif. Because what's the problem of being roe mum? That, as Rashi pointed out, that it's nira kimisakein, that you're being misakein the animal. Why is it nira kimisakein? Because before you check out the mum, the animal is might be a tam and therefore is absolutely useless. There's nothing you can do with it. But once you check out the mum, now you can check it and you can use its meat. But bizmach v'esimik shayekayim, even if before you check the mum, even if it was a tam, it's not useless if it's a tam, adrabah, you could still use it as a karban. It's only it doesn't first become useful when you paskin on it. So maybe Rabbi Shimon would be moda that you're allowed to paskin on it bizmach v'esimik shayekayim, even on yantif. Good. So that's why that's perhaps why Rashi specifically emphasizes bizman hazeh. It's also interesting that we talk about a bechor as opposed to any other kachim. Pashtus is because like we said before, that bechor is knowing even bizman hazeh. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, the Rambam says, "Behemas kachim shenolad b'mum b'yom tov, hov lo hoyse daita le'me'er b'yom tov, asa l'shachta b'yom tov." He doesn't specify bechor. The Rambam says about behemas kachim in general that it applies to all behemas kachim. But since bechor is knowing bizman hazeh as well, so that's why we talk about even bechor, or maybe because behemas kachim requires hamad v'aracha before you poda, whatever. There's got to be some reason why we specifically talk about Bechor. In one of the Achronim, the Sefer Machna Levi, he says that maybe it relates to the fact that that in Bechoros Taflamet Aleph, we say that Kol HaKachim Adam Ro Mum La'atzmo, that by all other Kachim, a person could determine whether it has a Mum on his own. We're not Choshed that he's going to say about a Mum Kavua that it's a Mum Over, because there's always Yeshna B'Sheila, there's a way out of other Kachim. As opposed to Bechor, where a person is not allowed to be Ro La'atzmo, it's Eino B'Sheila. So maybe the whole discussion about Nira Kimisakein is only by Bechor, because it's only by Bechor where you need to go to an expert. But when it comes to other Kachim, you don't need an expert, and if you don't need an expert, maybe it's not Nira Kimisakein in a situation where you don't need an expert. One more point over here, and that is, what is an expert? Meaning, how do we determine who is qualified to be the mumcha to go and determine the mum on the animal? So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold Some Rishonim hold the Shach quotes in the name of the Rush that in order to be a mumcha you need a special smicha for this. The Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin, when it talks about how they would get heter hara'ah, so the Gemara says yora, they would ask, can the guy paskin isav heter? Yora, yeah, he could paskin isav heter. Yadin, can he paskin dinei mamonos? Yadin. And then there was a third category of smicha. Those are the two that we're familiar with nowadays, that we give yora yora or yadin yadin. So, but there's a third category of smicha, the Gemara says, yatir b'chor. Can he be Matir Bukharos? Yatir Bukharos. Yeah, let him go be Matir Bukharos. So it sounds from that Gemara that there is a requirement to receive smicha for our Torah's book, what we call smicha, meaning hetero ra'a to be Matir Bukharos. And only someone who has such a hetero ra'a is allowed to be Matir Bukharos. However, not all Rishonim agree with that. The Tosos of Pesachos Bukharos and Daf Lamed Vav holds that you don't need to have a special smicha, you just need to really know your stuff. A person needs to be Baki, Muflag Bechachma, Baki b'mumin, to be able to tell the difference between a mum kavua and a mum over. Nowadays, regardless of which requirement is necessary, whether you need the smicha or whether you only need to be a baki, certainly no one has this smicha anymore. Question is, does anyone even have this bikius anymore? So Shulchan Aruch paskins, and based on the Balei Atosis and Maseches Becharos, nowadays we assume no one even has that bikius in Chachma, and therefore La Alacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, we always use three adiotos. If we ever need to be Matir Mum, we're never going to use a Yachid Mumcha, because we assume that we don't have a Yachid Mumcha to be Matir Mumin. Okay, says the Gemara now, B'maikomifki, what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah? E name a Beroin Mumin. So if we want to say the Pashtos that they're arguing about whether you're allowed to be roe or mum on yantiv, that they're arguing about whether you can look at a mum on yantiv to determine its status, so then v'lifligu b'roe and mum in the alma. So why don't they just stop arguing about a regular case of roe and mum? Why do you have to talk about the animal falling into a bar? You have a b'char, it has a mum, you want to know, can the b'chacham paskin on it? So Rabbi Yehuda says yes, Rabbi Shimon says no. Period. Why do we have to talk about an animal falling into a bar? What's it adding when we say that we're talking about an animal falling into a bar? No, we're talking about an animal falling into a bar, and there's an extra chiddush by specifically framing the case about an animal that fell into a bar. I might have thought that because of the tsar balechayim element, we should be able to do our rama and take it out of the bar. We should be able to say that it fell into a bar, so it's got to have a mum, so let me pull it out without sending anyone down in there to make sure that it has a mum. Can't I just assume it has a mum and pull it out and in order to save it, the Tsar Balei Chaim? So I might have thought to do that, just like Rabbi Yeshua allows in a different context. What's the different context where Rabbi Yeshua allows it? So Rashi tells us, the context where Rabbi Yeshua allows it is where you have Oso Ve'espino, that fall into a bar. The halacha is that a mother and its offspring are not allowed to be shechted on the same day. It's nisadar raisa to shecht oso vespino on the same day. That's what the Mishnayos and Chulin talk about, that there are certain times of the year, dalet prakim bashana, where if you sell a behema and you sell its offspring on that same day, you need to actually inform the buyer, imo mecharti ayom, or vlada mecharti ayom, I sold the mother, I sold the offspring of this today, because everyone knows that it's going to be shechted that day. That's nisadar raisa to shecht oso. Let's say you have Osa Vespino, a mother and its offspring both fell into a bar. So you're allowed to pull an animal out of a bar in Yantif in order to shecht it. But you can't shecht both of them today, so maybe you should only be allowed to pull one out. Says Rabbi Shua, you're allowed to pull one out and say, maybe I want to shecht the mother. So pull the mother out. Then say, I'm in the mood for more tender meat. So maybe I'm going to shecht the child. And then pull the child, they'll pull the offspring out. You're allowed to do such a rama, where as you're pulling each one out, you say that maybe I'll shecht this one. So one might have thought that the same should apply over here. You have one animal in the bar and might have a mum. There's a decent chance it has a mum. It fell into a bar after all. So maybe I should be able to pull it out saying to myself, probably has a mum and I can shecht it. So kamash mum, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That you cannot do that, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, nor according to Rabbi Shimon. The only, even Rabbi Yehuda requires that you send someone down into the bar and verify that it has a mum. The difference between this and the case of Osav Espino is that by Osav Espino, each one is royal l'shchita. You just can't shecht both of them. In this case, if it turns out not to have a mum, Yom, you might have nothing that's royal l'shchita. So that's why we're not going to allow this harama. But really, really, the Gemara seems to be saying, the machlokas is about ro and mumin. The machlokas is not about muktzah. The machlokas is about ro and mumin, whether you're allowed to paskin on a mumin yontif. It just happens to frame it in a way where a bukhar fell into a bar, because it teaches us an additional chiddush when it's talking about a bukhar that fell into a bar. What's the issue of ro and mumin? What would be the isser of looking at a mumin? So we already saw Rashi, where Rashi says that it's nira kemisakein, that it looks like you're being misakein the animal, because prior to developing a mum, you have no use for it, a bukhar tam, you can't do anything with. So when you paskin on it, that it has a mum, now you can do something with it. Rashi also compared it to dunes hadin, to judging a din Torah on yantif, which you're not allowed to do. It could very well be that those are two separate reasons, though. That dunes hadin is a little bit different than nira kemisakein. The third possibility, some of the Rishonim say, is that the only way to really check out an animal for a mum is by actually touching the animal, moving the animal around, and it could be that it's a mum over and it's not right to use, and then you were metaltal muktzah on yantif. That's how the Ravid writes, that it's going to be a violation of muktzah, because if it has a mum, so great, so then you're allowed to touch the animal, because you're allowed to shech the animal, you're allowed to use the animal for whatever you want. But what if it turns out that it doesn't have a mum, so you're metaltal to look on this animal, and it turned out that the person violated the Isra of Muktzah unnecessarily. Then the Ravid has a second possibility, where he says that maybe we're afraid, Shemelo yidaktek biri yaso mishum simchas yom tov, that maybe you're not allowed to be mvakar mumin on yantiv, not because of misakein or danas hadin or muktzah or anything like that, but simply because the consideration of simchas yom tov is going to get in the way, and a person's not going to check for the mum carefully enough. So there are two ways to understand what the Ravid means by that. Either the Ravid means that the Chacham is coming right out of his Yantif meal, and he just drank some wine, and he had some meat, he's just not going to have the head for it. He's going to shashichrus, or whatever it might be, he's not going to have the head for it to really paskin in the best way possible, to really do a thorough job of paskining on the mum. The other way to understand it is that the Chacham is going to be motivated to want to be matir, because he feels bad for the Simchas Yantif element. He knows that the guy he's paskining for may be relying on this animal for the sake of Simchas Yantif, so the Chacham may not do an honest job, because he's going to feel bad for the person that he's paskining for, to be able to enhance the person's Simchas Yantif, and he's going to justify to himself that he should be Mekel for the sake of Simchas Yantif. So those are the possibilities of what the Isser might be. So says Gemara, wait a second, Ihachi lo yishchot, if the whole issue of Nafal Abar is to tell me that we don't say this din of Tzar Belechayim, lo yalav yishchot mi baile. Why does it say lo yishchot? It should say lo yalav yishchot, right? We said the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda was that if you don't find the mum, lo yishchot. But if part of the chiddush was that you're not allowed to take it out of the bar, so we should have mentioned that in the phrase of Rabbi Yehuda himself. So says Gemara, lo tzricha da'aver va'aske. No, we're talking about a case where you took it out, you did the wrong thing. Halach is, you're not allowed to take it out of the bar. You did. So salgadai techamina lishchatei. I might have thought that you can shecht it in that situation. Kamashmul, and therefore it tells me no, that you're not allowed to shecht it. Lishchatei hatamu. Why would I have a havamina that you're allowed to shecht it if it doesn't have a mum? Of course you're not allowed to shecht it. A bechor tam, you can't shecht. So tzricha d'nafal beimuma. But so no, the case must be that it does have a mum, that it developed a mum right now. And what we're saying is that if it has a mum kavur from erev yom tov, so then yalav yishchot, you could take it out and shecht it. But if it did not have a mum from erev yom tov, rather it just developed a mum right now, lo yishchot, then you're not allowed to shecht it. If it didn't have a mum from erev yom tov, then of course you can't shecht it, because it's muktzah. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds of muktzah, so that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that vim lav lo yishchot means that if it didn't have a mum from erev yantif and it just first developed a mum now on yantif, that you're not allowed to shecht it. Of course you're not allowed to shecht it. Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktzah. Elo denafel be mum over me erev yom tov. No, the case is that it had a mum in erev yom tov, but it was a mum over. Vahai was a temporary mum. Vahashtav le mum kavua. And now it turned into a mum kavua. It developed a mum kavua. So mal de tema de daite lavei vinishkotei. I might have thought that since it had some sort of mum in erev yom tov, your das was already to potentially use it in case you were able to ascertain or verify that it's a mum kavua, and therefore you might be allowed to shecht it, even though it's not because of that same mum that you're shechting it, that it's actually mutter. Kamashmala, and therefore comes to tell me that no such svara applies. Period. We have a brisa. Bechor tam shenafel a bar. A bechor tam falls into a bar. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer yirin mumcha v'yira. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, send the mumcha down. Let him see the mum. Let him paskan in it. Im yesh mum yalav yishchot. If it has a mum, take it out and shecht it, just like he said in our Mishnah. V'im lav lo yishchot. And if it doesn't have a mum, so then you don't shecht it. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. So over here it's Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya talking, not Rabbi Shimon. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Harei amru, but didn't they already say? Ein roin mumen biyomtov. You're not allowed to look at mumen on yomtiv. So who's they? What's the harei amru? So the Rashi points out when Rabbi Shimon Menasseh quotes harei amru, Rabbi Seinu doro shalafanenu, that it's the previous generation say that ein roin mumen. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai midoro shalafneim haya v'Rabbi Talmido haya k'dam rusach seirvin. It's a little confusing here because our Mishnah and machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. In this brisa, it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. Those are different people. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah. That lines up perfectly. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh says, no, you should know that your own Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, from our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Stam Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, your own Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, doesn't hold that way. He holds Ein Roin Mumen B'Yom Tov. That you're not allowed to look at a mum on Yom Tov. So says Mark Ketzad, how does the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, of the original Rabbi Shimon, play out? Meaning, what are the examples of cases where someone would be roa mumen or not be roa mumen, and how would this halacha play out? So there are actually three separate halachas. Number one, nolad bo mum me erev yom tov, ein mevakron aso be yom tov. If the animal developed a mum on erev yom tov, you're not allowed to lechachila examine that mum on yom tov. But b'diavad, if you did examine that mum on yom tov, that you're allowed to shecht it because you're not. It's not such a tikkun because it was kimat mesukan bein hashmashos because you already had the mum. You just hadn't showed it to a chacham yet. So the mum was already there from erev yom tov. So you're not allowed to paskan on it. But if you did paskan on it, you could shecht it. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, according to Rabbi Shimon, nolad bo mum be yom tov. If it develops a mum on yom tov, Rabbi Shimon omrein zemin amuchan. Rabbi Shimon holds it's absolutely off limits. And even if a chacham did paskin on it, you cannot shecht it. That's a violation of tikkun. That's completely being misakin it. That's absolutely aser. Vishavin, but everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree. Shem nolat hu umumo imo shazemin amuchan. That if an animal is born with its mum, so it's not a violation of tikkun. It's not that there was never an iser. So that for sure is considered to be perfectly permissible. You're allowed to shecht such an animal in yantiv. So basically, there's a case where you could shecht it lechatchila. There's a case where you're not allowed to show it to a chacham, but if you did, you could shecht it b'di'eved. Then there's a case where even b'di'eved, after you showed it to the chacham, it's not going to work. The case where it's born with the mum, you could even shecht it lechatchila. The case where it had a mum on erev yantiv, you're not allowed to shecht it lechatchila, but if you showed it to the chacham, you can then shecht it. And then the case where it had developed the mumon yantiv, according to Rabbi Shimon, can't do anything. Even b'diavad, you can't do anything. So darash Rabbi Rav Huna nolat hu mumo imo mevakron aso b'yomtov lechatchila. Rabbi Rav Huna darshan, like this third halacha that we just said, that the animal is born with a mum, you're allowed to examine that mum lechatchila on yomtov. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Abba tani, Abba taught im avar ubakra mavukar, that only if you examined it, if you violated and examined it, only then is it okay. But v'adam mivakra also lechatchila, you're saying you're even allowed to be mivakra lechatchila, you're even allowed to examine it lechatchila when it's born with a mum. No, Abba said otherwise. Who's Abba? Who's Abba that said otherwise? And why should he care what Abba says? So says Rashi, Abba tani al aviv ka'amar. that he's talking about his father. Meaning, don't think that Rav Nachman is talking about some Tano or Amora whose name is Abba, because there are a few Abbas that are Tanaim or Amoraim, but no, he's talking about his own father. So you also shouldn't think he's talking about Rav, who was known as Abba Aricha, and was his Rebbe, because Rav Nachman never would have called him by his name. He never would have called him Abba, because that was his own Rebbe's name, so he never would have referred to him as Abba. Rav Nachman means his own father. So Rabbi Rav Huna is not allowed to argue on Rav Nachman's father? Rabbi Rav Huna says an opinion. So Rav Nachman says, how could you possibly say that? My father says otherwise. Shkayach, your father says otherwise. He's an Amora, I'm an Amora. It's all fair. So he's trying to say apparently in a chinami, you can have a machlokes, but he's still saying that I have a tradition. I have a tradition otherwise. Others understand, some of the Achronim understand that no. When it says Abba, it doesn't mean my father, it means your father. Meaning, Rabba Bar Rav Huna says this halacha, says Rav Nachman, your father, Rav Huna, said otherwise. So you shouldn't be cholek on your own father. And that's what he was referring to. Okay, whatever it is, somehow Rav Nachman was bothered by Rabba Bar Rav Huna saying that when it's born with a mum, you're allowed to be mvaker lechachila. So Rav Nachman says, that's not how I learned. So Amar Abai says, Kavas Rabbi Rav Huna Mistavra. It could be that Rav Nachman's father or Rav Huna maybe disagrees with Rabbi Rav Huna, but Rabbi Rav Huna makes a lot of sense, and it seems that he has support from Mishnayis, Midiktani, or from at least Brisas, Midiktani, from the fact that the Brisa that we just learned taught Tlasa Bavi, it taught three separate halachos, it divided it up into three distinct halachos. Nolad bo mum me erev yom tov, it's taught a halacha that if the mum was there from erev yom tov, ein mevakronoso bi yom tov, you're not allowed to examine that mum on yom tov. So that sounds like we pointed out, l'charchilu delo hadiyavet shapir dami, that only l'charchilu you're not allowed to examine that mum on yom tov, but b'diyavet it does work if you examine the mum on yom tov. Nolad bo mum be Yom Tov. Then we had a second statement to the Braisa. If a mum was there on Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zeh Mino Muchan, Da Filu Diyavet Na Milo. Rabbi Shimon Omer, that's not called Mino Muchan, that even be Diyavet, it's no good. V'hadar Tani, and then we had the third case, V'shavim Shimon Omer, Mumo Mumo, Shazeh Mino Muchan. That sounds like Da Filu L'Chadchila Nami, that even L'Chadchila, if it's born with a mum, you're allowed to examine that mum on Yom Tov. So it sounds very much like Rabbi Rav Huna, that it's a Din L'Chadchila, because if it were not a Din L'Chadchila, why would it be a third separate statement? I mean, if it were only a din b'diavad, then we should have connected it to the case of an animal, to the first case of the animal that developed a mum from Erev Yom Tov, that you just hadn't had a chance to show to the Chacham until Yom Tov. So it sounds from this braisa very much like Rabbi Rav Huna. V'akiyas Rav Oshia asav aisi masnisa b'yadei. But when Rav Oshia came, he taught the following braisa. Bein shenolad bo mum me'erev Yom Tov, bein shenolad bo mum be Yom Tov, Chacham Mom remains a Minamuchan. That whether it has a Mum before Yom Tov, whether it has a Mum on Yom Tov, the Chacham say that that's not called Minamuchan. I, Velakasha Hach, but in our Braisa, we divided that up into two separate halachos, where we said that it makes a difference, that one of them is a Chachila, one of them is B'diavid. So answers the Gemara, Hayhi Ad Baruch Mehi, the Meshabish Vatani. Yeah, you have to say that Braisa is authored by Abba Baruch Mehi, who used to mess up all the Braisas. He used to always tell us Braisas, but they were always a little bit off. Rashi points out, Ad Baruch Mihu Chacham Echad Shoy Makirim Bo Shoy Goris Mishnayos Mishakich Mishabshan. That he was a Chacham Echad. He was always learning. He was always in the Beis Medrash, but he was always saying something wrong with the Mishnayos. He was always saying over Mishnayos just a little bit off. I'm not sure how was he a Chacham Echad if he was always messing up. He's always getting it wrong. I don't know. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masnisin Nami Daika Diktani Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shein Muma Nukamir Rav Yom Tov Ein Zeh Mino Muchan. So our Mishnah also sounds like Rav Oshia taught, because Rabbi Shimon says anytime it's the mum is not nicker from before Yom Tov, it's not Mino Muchan. My Ein Mumo Nicker. What does it mean Ein Mumo Nicker? Ile Moshe Ein Mumo Nicker Klal Pshita Tzrich LeMeimar. So if there's no mum at all, so what's the Chiddush? Does Rabbi Shimon have to tell Rabbi Yehuda that if you didn't know of any mum before Yom Tov, that it's going to be Muktza? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds the more expanded view of Muktza. Of course Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that's Mukhsa. You don't need Rabbi Shimon to tell Rabbi Yehuda, oh, you should know if there was no warning sign of any mum whatsoever on Erev Yantav, the animal is going to be Mukhsa. Now the case must be that it had a mum before Yantav. You just didn't have the opportunity to show it to a Chacham to determine what kind of mum it was on Erev Yantav. So Katani Mias, but it says, Ein Zem Menomuchan. It says that it's not Menomuchan, so you see, Shema Mina, as Rashi points out, Afil Dievet, that it sounds like even Bidievet it's no good. So then when the next line says that everyone agrees that if it's that if it's born with a mum, that it's minamuchan, it only means bidiyavet, it does not mean lechachila. So that sounds more like Rav Oshia and less like Rav Barav Huna. So period, that's the end of that discussion about a bukhar that's nola together with a mum. So now, bay minei Hillel may Rava. Hillel asks the following question. Rav Hillel, it should be the Bach changes it to, obviously, because Hillel was a Tana. So Rav Hillel, who was an Amora, Rav Hillel asked Rava the following question. It comes up a few times in Shas. I don't think this is the only place where we have Rav Hillel. There is an Amora, Rav Hillel. So Rav Hillel asked Rava, Yesh Muktzah L'chati Shabbos, Oein Muktzah L'chati Shabbos. Is there a concept of Muktzah for half of Shabbos? Is something that's Muktzah going to necessarily be Muktzah the entire Shabbos? Or can it be Muktzah for even part of Shabbos? So, what's the case exactly that we're asking about Muktzah L'chati Shabbos? Meaning, so normal Muktzah, Rashi points out, is, let's say, when you put you put grapes to dry in the sun to become raisins. So before they turn into raisins, when they're sort of in that in-between state, they're completely inedible. And that's what we call Muktzah. Grogros and Smukim, dried fruits that are in the first steps of drying, are completely Muktzah. So what does it mean, Chatzi Shabbos? What do you mean? If when Shabbos started, it was already dried enough to be edible, so then it's not Muktzah at all. If when Shabbos started, it wasn't dried enough to be edible, so that's the definition of Muktzah, then it's Muktzah for the entire Shabbos. What kind of question of Chatzi Shabbos? Idichsi ben Ashmashos, Ichsi. Idilochsi, Loichsi. If they're already right to eat ben Ashmashos, great! And if they weren't already right to eat ben Ashmashos, then that's the definition of Muktzah. So what kind of question? So l'tzricha de'ichsi v'hadar itchi v'hadar ichsi. Now the case is, we're dealing with something that was roi to eat bein hashmashos, and then at some point on Shabbos became not roi to eat, and then again at some point on Shabbos became roi to eat again. So my, do we assume that since there was a period during Shabbos where it was not roi to eat, it became muktzah at that moment and then remained muktzah the rest of Shabbos? Or do we assume, no, that since by ben hashmashos it was not muktzah, even if it became muktzah at some point in the middle of Shabbos, we go with the ben hashmashos and it's therefore not muktzah at all? That is the shaila. Two critical points over here before we move on. First of all, the Rishonim all write that the whole suffix of this Gemara, whether it's Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos or not Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos, is talking about Muktzah that's usher to eat. But when it comes to Muktzah of Tiltal, that which is usher to handle, to move, there's definitely no concept of Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. Anything that's Muktzah B'Tiltal Ben Hashmashos, even if at some point during Shabbos something happened that made it usher to be metaltal, that made it usher to move, and then that thing went away, it's definitely going to be Muktzah B'Tiltal. There's definitely no concept of Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos when it comes to moving things. It's only about things that are Muktzah L'achila. The Raya is from the Mishnah in Shabbos Kuf Chav Chesam Beis, where it says, Kofenes Hasal Lefnei HaFrochin Sheyal V'Yardu, that you're allowed to turn if birds need to hop out of somewhere, or hop onto somewhere, you're allowed to turn a basket upside down and let them use that as a step to hop onto to something. So that's what the Mishnah says. And the Gemara in Shabbos over there, Daf Mem Gimel, says that if there were birds on it during Ben Hashmashos, it's Aser L'Kala Shabbos, even if the birds went off. But if the birds first went on that basket on Shabbos, once there are no longer birds on the basket, you're allowed to be metalt on the basket. Aye, but there were birds on it at some point on Shabbos, and while there were birds on it, they were Muktzah, so it should have been Aser B'Tiltal. Elamai, you see that there's no concept of Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos when it comes to Tiltal. They also have a Raya from Mishnah and Kalim, so there are several Rayas. Our whole discussion is only with regard to Muktzah for Achila, not to Muktzah for tiltal, and that's why every raya we're going to bring is going to be about muktzah l'achila, not about muktzah l'tiltal. The second point over here is that the Ran says that the suffix, whether we say migud is katzay l'chatzi Shabbos is katzay l'kula yoma, meaning we know that we say migud is katzay l'ben hashmashah is katzay l'kula yoma. Something that's muktzah ben hashmashah remains muktzah l'ol Shabbos. The whole suffix of our Gemara is, do we also have a concept migud is katzay l'chatzi Shabbos, that since something became muktzah for a part of Shabbos, so mele becomes muktzah for the whole Shabbos. The Pnei Shur just points out that it's very strange to say such a concept. What's the whole reason why we say migud is katzay l'ben hashmashah? It's based on the pasuk v'chinu es asher yaviu, that anything you can use for Shabbos has to be prepared from before Shabbos. And something that's not right to use ben hashmashos was obviously not prepared for use from before Shabbos. That's the problem of muktzah. That's why migud diskatzay ben hashmashos. How are you going to say that with something that was right to use from before Shabbos? So it was prepared. It's just elamai. Something happened on Shabbos where for a few minutes or for an hour or something, it became unprepared. But that's not a violation of hachana. Hachana already happened from Erev Shabbos. So that's the kasha. That's the kasha that the Pnei Yeshua and other achronim are bothered by. What's this svara of migud diskatzay? So in the Sefer Afikayan, he says the svara from muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos is that if you need hachana, so hachana only helps when it happened miba'od yom. Now if this food was nidcha on Shabbos from being able to be eaten, so yesterday's hachana is useless now because it's no longer mukhan. So you need a hachana mechadash. You need to prepare it anew. It's panim chadash. And the new achana was not from Erev Shabbos. So that would be the svara to say that it doesn't work. That migud is katzay l'chatzi Shabbos. That yesterday's achana is irrelevant because it obviously didn't work because it went through a period where that achana ceased to help. So now you need a new achana, and this new achana is not working. So Gemara, in today's daf, we're going to have three rayas. We'll see how many we get to, maybe two. In about whether migud is katzay l'chatzi Shabbos, whether you have a muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. So Amrlei, yesh muktzah. First answer, he says, first version is yesh muktzah. There is muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. So raya number one, eisvei, we're going to have it as a kasha on the approach that says yesh muktzah. V'shavim sheminol mumchan. We just got through saying that if an animal was born with a mum, it's considered to be mukhan. Why should it be considered to be mukhan? While it was still in the mother's womb, so it was royag of the mother. Once it was born, so it was nidcha, because now it has a mum and you haven't seen it yet. Now the chacham looks at the mum and it becomes mutter. So don't you see that ain't muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, because we say that it's going to become mutter as soon as the chacham sees it when it's nolad with its mum? Some rabbi v'tim rav safra gon diasvi dayani hasam. Who says it ever went through a period of time where it was muktzah? Maybe the dayanim were watching the birth, and as it was being born, they've already diagnosed the mum as being a mum kavua. So it never went through a single moment where it wasn't roi. Ikadamri. Others have a different version, that Armalei ain't muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, that the response that Rava gave to Rav Hillel was that ain't muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, not that yesh muktzah. So instead of this Mishnah being, this Brisa rather, being a kasha on him, it's a raya. That it's a raya, that if it's nolad with its mum, that it's minamuchan. Aye, but this also went through a period of time where it was muktzah. Some rabbi Tim Rav Safra going the Asvi Dayan Yasim. No, that's not necessarily a great raya, because it could be that we're talking about a case where the Dayanim were sitting there. So the only difference between the two versions is whether it's a failed kasha or it's a failed raya, because in the first version, Rava Paskin Geish Muksa, in the second version, Rava Paskin. That ain't muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. Tashma, second raya. Hayochel ba'anavim v'hosi velen l'gag glasses men smuk. And a person was eating grapes, and he had some extra, so he brought it up to the roof to make raisins out of it. Betein v'hosi velen l'gag glasses men grogro. So he was eating figs, and he had some extra, so he brought it up to the roof to make dried figs. Lo yochel me'anachi yazim v'bod yom. You cannot eat from them unless you had them designated from before Shabbos, from before Yontif, that you were going to use them. V'chein atamotzi ba'parsikin v'chavushin b'shar kol mini peros. And this is true of all dried fruits. Say chidami, what's the case exactly? If they were roi mi bod yom, so then what do you need asmana for? Why do you need to specifically designate them? And if they were not roi to be eaten, then why does it help to designate them? It's like designating eitzim v'avanim, that they're not food. So you can't, designating them doesn't help. To say that I plan on using them is irrelevant if they're not food. And if you're going to say, no, maybe the case is he had no idea down. He didn't go to the roof to check whether they were ready to be eaten yet at Bein HaShemesh. So he has no idea. Well, the halacha is that if fruits dry out and you just didn't know that they're already dried and ready to eat, so it's mutter. Now the case must be that they were ready to eat on at Bein HaShemesh, and then because they were still grapes, and then they dried just enough to become inedible at some point on Shabbos, and then they dried further on Shabbos to be delicious raisins, to be edible again on Shabbos. So v'yamertein muktza lomelu azmana. Now if you hold that there's no issue of muktza l'chatzi Shabbos at all, then why would you need to designate them? They should just be totally fine, because they were fine during Bein HaShemesh. The fact that you need to designate them tells you that there's yesh muktza l'chatzi Shabbos. That's our raya. So it says Mara Elamai yesh muktza kiasma l'may havi. But wait a second, if there was yesh muktza l'chatzi Shabbos, then it doesn't work either, because then why does hazmana help? You can't be mazman something that's muktza. Hazmana shouldn't help at all. It wasn't muchan mibod yom. It wasn't muchan rather throughout Shabbos. So it says Mara l'tzricha da'achzu v'lo achzu. Now the case must have been a case where they were partially right, where some people might eat them, some people might not during the Bein HaShemesh period. Deacon, she da'achli, vegan, she da'lo achli. Some would eat, some wouldn't eat. So Azmin, if you would designate them, goli daite, then you're showing that for you, this is a meichel, this is something that's edible, and therefore it's not mukser for you. Lo Azmin, lo goli daite. But if you weren't Mazmin, then you were never megaladas, that it in fact is a viable meichel for that person. It's interesting, the riff leaves out the din of the previous rai of nolat hu mumo imo, that you're allowed to check out the mum on yantiv. But okay, we'll stop there after the second rai. Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with Rabbi Zeira, a third rai about muktza l'chatzi Shabbos.